Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
I was drafted to Chicago, but I was drafted 31st, and we had a veteran tight end there that was a really good player in Desmond Clark.
We'll meet the Chicago offense.
Desmond Clark, Wake Forest University.
Forte the lone back, snap the cover, back on five. Tight pocket, tries to lead, slides to his right, throws to an open man. Clark at the 35, rumbles inside the 30-yard line to the 27 of Minnesota. And there's a Bears first down.
I was only asked to do what I was good at, and I could learn all the other things because we had Bernard Berrien and Mohsin Mohammed and Desmond Clark. And, like, we had real dudes when I got there.
Desmond Clark, touchdown! Touchdown, Bears!
He fakes, Cutler throws, and touchdown, Bears! Desmond Clark in the end zone.
You know, he hasn't missed many games around here, so for some reason we just assume he'll always be out there playing.
And Desmond Clark, at age 32, the oldest offensive player to have a score. This is a young football team.
We take a lot of pride in that the two of us can go out there and perform well. You know, so just to be able to play with him and the, you know, the veteran and learn the stuff I can from him has been huge.
Guy, last night he was telling us, is becoming his go-to guy, the tight end, Desmond Clark. The fake to Jones, Grossman to the end zone. Touchdown to Desmond Clark. We talked about him in the first half as his new go-to guy. Well, that's the first time in the game he's gone to him.
Hey, that was a good play action pass.
Bear fans, your dream is reality. Begin the migration to Miami and Super Bowl 41.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
That's right. Des Clark is the originator of Hater Wednesday.
Man, that's a legacy. I mean, I know, like, the whole NFL thing is impressive, and oh, look at me, I played a pro sport. But Hater Wednesday,
yes,
had a very impressive Chicago sports radio run.
It did, and it all started because Des made the assertion of me laughing at the Twins, being like, man, you kind of a hater. It's kind of like Hater Wednesday. And then we just started doing Hater Wednesday, and it turned out I think it is as many great pieces of production that Chris Tannehill has done. I still have that as his number one.
The Hater Wednesday open?
It is amazing. Wow. It's so good.
I'm gonna have to go back and hear that.
Well, I don't know. Considering a certain trial that's going on right now, might not want to play it.
The Menendez brothers attempt to get parole?
No, those are guys that you grew up with.
We all have our connections.
It's true. Des Clark, and I had forgotten that his best year as a pro was that 06 season. 626 receiving yards that year, averaged 14 yards a catch. Six touchdowns. He now joins us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Des, how are you?
Man, I'm doing well, man. It's glad to see your face, man. It's been some years. Spiegel, we never met in person, but I pay attention to the radio when I'm back in Chicago. And I still enjoy when I'm up in Chicago tuning in to 670 to Score.
That's awesome. Thank you, Des. Very, very cool to have you. Yeah, I mean, so what do you think of when you see Lawrence? Does he still look like a hater? And it is Wednesday.
It is Hater Wednesday, right? And I forgot about that, Lawrence. I forgot about the whole Hater Wednesday thing. But, I mean, you still look the same, so you probably still got a little hater in you. But we'll see.
It's true.
He does. He does. Dez, I can attest.
100%. And now Dez has moved on and become a very, very strong businessman. He's figured out the way to handle post playing life, which is always great. I always look forward to seeing guys do that. I want to ask you, because first of all, when it comes to that era of the Bears, people have so many questions. And now that I've been away from it a little bit, you've been away from it a little bit, I know that Thomas Jones never watches the Super Bowl now. He always makes sure that – you've never seen it either?
Nope.
Why not?
I've seen clips. I tried to watch it. One time my brother called me and said, hey, man, the Super Bowl is on from when y'all play. And I turned on the NFL Network or whatever it was on, and I watched about four plays, and I couldn't watch it. Man, like that's like the most heartbreaking thing for – a football player to get there and then lose it. I can appreciate it now that I'm out of the game, but to watch myself lose the Super Bowl, I just still can't bring myself to do that.
Dez, you know, the game started real well. There was a kickoff return. I mean, every one of us thought the Bears were going to win that Super Bowl at that moment. Every single one of us. Did you guys think so?
Absolutely. I mean, you can't get a better start than that. And when that happened, it was like, okay, here we go. Here we go. We're about to do what we do. You know, the special teams, our defense is going to – and our defense started out well also. Our defense is going to go out there and shut them down. And all the offense has to do is take care of the ball, run the ball effectively, make time and plays, make plays with in good time, and we'll win this game. That's how we won 13 games that year going into the playoffs. And it seemed like it was going to be another magical night, but we know how it ended.
So after it's all said and done, and you guys have to regroup and get ready for the next couple of seasons, did mm-hmm. you think, yeah, we're definitely going to be back there? Like, what? How did you guys kind of wrap your mind around not getting that part of it done and then getting prepared for whatever was going to happen after it?
Yeah, so the interesting thing about that season in 2006 – I brought out the cameras for camp, and I started documenting everything. I got some stuff in storage where we were talking about that early in the 2006 season. And of course, we went on and lost the Super Bowl. But coming back in 2007, it was just assumed we would go on another run. I don't think any team can go to the Super Bowl and come back with practically the same team and not have that thought that, hey, even if we don't go back to the Super Bowl, we're going to go on a run. But we didn't even make the playoffs the next year.
Man, talking to Dez Clark here on 670 The Score. It's interesting, Dez. We're in a moment here where tight ends are getting a lot of conversation. So we have been talking about tight ends, and it's one of the reasons that I think we thought of you and
especially
Lawrence reached out.
A Dez Clark type tight end right now is a very effective player that's making a whole lot more money than what Dez made in his career.
Well, because Dez
first round draft pick, he's probably going to make more in his signing bonus than I made in half of my career.
So when you see Colston Loveland and hear the way that people talk about Colston Loveland, does he remind you of a young Dez Clark?
So here's where I was struggling if I was going to take the interview or not, because I haven't watched a whole lot of football, college football, over the last 3-4 years.
That's okay. That's all right. That's all right.
Hey. But I do watch the Bears, mm-hmm. and I do follow the NFL from not too far of a distance, but from a distance. So I know what's going on with the Bears, and picking up another good, solid tight end that can go with Komet, a very, very good upper echelon tight end, I believe. I mean, it takes me back to our days when it was me and Greg Olsen. And I think they could have that type of fire or even more coming into this season with the type of offense that Ben Johnson runs.
Considering that you were a tight end that had to do it all, and Greg had a specialty, and even in the intro, Greg talked about, hey, that first year, they kind of just let me do their thing. What were the important messages that were going on between the two of you and your tight ends coach at the time about what his job was and how to make everyone's life easier?
Well, for Greg, he was that tall, fast, tight end that can get down the field. I mean, he ran a 4.45. And I was a guy, I could control the middle of the field. So we had our different strengths that played well to each other, right? When Greg first came into the league, he wasn't that good of a blocker. So they didn't ask him to block a lot. They wanted Greg to stretch the field. And he did a really good job at that. And I believe those first couple years, 07, 08, I think that we were used in a really effective way because it played to both of our strengths. And I think in 07 and 08, no, especially I know 08, we both had like 40 plus catch seasons if Greg didn't have even more than that. So well balanced, and they really catered to both of our strengths as a tight end.
See, that, and that's where it's extremely relevant because we got Cole Kmet and Colston Loveland, who are going to work together. And we've been listening to Greg Olsen talk about it, and we're interested in how it works for the veteran when the rookie comes in, and you got to figure out how to function together and who does what, and if it can be comfortable in a tight end's room, or if there's some rivalry. Maybe there's a little bit of both in a tight end room like that.
Yeah, man. I got the greatest compliment from Greg when they were talking about drafting a first round, second round tight end towards the end of Greg's career with Carolina. And I remember reading something that he said in the paper down there. Maybe, I don't know where I read it, I'd have seen that, but he said, "I'm gonna treat this guy just like Desmond treated me. I'm not gonna give him anything. Desmond didn't give me anything. He made me work for everything, but he also taught me everything that he could to help make me a better teammate." That's the ultimate compliment. And if these two guys can coexist like that, where Cole Kmet, he doesn't see him as a threat. Like, I didn't see Greg as a threat. I was secure in my own ability and what I can do. You got to come in and prove yourself. But although you got to come in and prove yourself, I'm willing to help you be the best tight end that you can be because I want to win freaking games. So if Cole Kmet could have that type of attitude, which I don't know him personally, everything that I've heard about him, he's a good dude. But if he goes into it with that, he's secure in his own ability, which he should be because he's a damn good tight end, and just say, "Hey, this guy's going to come help this team win games. So let me help him be the best tight end possible." Then that's the best relationship that you can have. But Cole Kmet shouldn't bow down and think, okay, since he's a first rounder, they're just going to come in and play him. No, he got to earn everything that he gets.
I've been trying to kind of game out how the Bears offense under Ben Johnson looks. And I'm honestly, Des, kind of excited about this because I feel like Roma Dunze is very talented. We know DJ Moore is good. And then you have Cole Kmet, and I keep thinking about like a strong side formation that Loveland then motions into, and then the type of matchup that might leave. It might leave DJ Moore one-on-one, which is exactly what you want. When you start thinking about how tight ends like Loveland with the rest of the Bears offense intact, what type of matchup problems could they then make for defenses?
Oh, man, I just go back to what Greg was able to do. He was a matchup nightmare for – I mean, he was too big for safeties, and he was too big, and he was too fast for linebackers. So if Loveland could be that type of tight end and command that type of attention, it's only going to take pressure off of DJ Moore. It's only going to help Rome be a better receiver because there's going to be more space. And as you guys know, if you got – two good tight ends that can control the middle of the field, and our receivers can work the outside and work the numbers and work outside of the hash and not get double teamed and have an extra safety over the top. We have a few good wide receivers, and I'm excited to see what they can do. I was excited last year to see what they can do on the offensive side of the ball. And now with an upgraded offensive line, more firepower at the tight end position, I mean, DJ Moore may have his best year yet, and he's had a couple good years with the Chicago Bears.
The way you just described the linebacker matchups and the safety matchups for the tight end is still exactly the way that it works. It's still it's what you want the tight end to do, is to create that mismatch. Does it make sense to you, Des? I was told this, that Ben Johnson can't run his offense without a tight end like Colston Loveland. And that's the guy who creates the matchup problems. He needs that guy to run just about everything else in his offense. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, so the tight end position is outside of the quarterback and maybe the center. It's probably the most unique position on the football field because we have to know all of the blocking assignments. We got to know all of the receiving assignments, all of the conversions, and we got to know what the fullback has to do and from that position. So that's a chess piece that you can move around in so many different places to dictate to the defense, hey, you gotta line up to us. And once a good coach can see, all right, now that we're moving our chess pieces, when I'm talking about the tight ends, around in certain situations, and they find a crack in the defense that they can exploit, man, that's gold to have as a good play caller, to have a good tight end that you can split out wide, bring in the slot. Two tight end sides, put both tight ends on the same side, two receivers on the other side, see what type of matchup you get there. Tight ends on the end of the line, both tight ends out wide. When you have that type of flexibility with the tight end position, it's just unlimited the things you could create as far as matchups.
How would you advise Loveland to approach being a tight end that can do everything? Clearly, he's got the ability to be a guy that can kind of act like a wide receiver, but you talking about the blocking aspect of it and kind of being an offensive lineman, how difficult mm-hmm. is that, and how would you advise him on learning all of those things to make himself a complete tight end?
Yeah, when it comes to blocking, I learned from Shannon Sharp, and he was an undersized tight end, right? So he knew all the tricks of the trade to cut off defensive ends and to get angles. And I believe that's the most important part to being an undersized tight end. Like I was playing at 252 pounds, barely only 6'3". And, you know, I wasn't ripped up or nothing like that. Learn angles, learn leverage, because as a small – and he's taller too, so – It's probably going to be even a little bit harder for him.
He's got to learn some bend a little bit in some of those situations.
Right. And he has to learn angles. The thing that I thought that I was really, really good at was getting on hips and pushing hips and understanding how to influence defensive ends by taking that first step. Because they're reading your steps. If you take a step in, you know, they're taught that they got to take a certain step to man their gaps, right? So you can influence defensive ends and linebackers a certain way just with your movements. So instead of me trying to do it with brute strength, which I knew I wasn't going to outpower anybody, I did it more with my movements, influencing them to do one thing, and then I take advantage of it once I get them to move the way that I need them to move. So learning those little tricks of the trade, having great footwork, learn how to influence the movements of the defense, and then taking advantage of it when they move how you want them to move with the angles. That's the things that he will have to learn to be an effective undersized run blocker.
I'm so glad you said yes to the interview, because this has been phenomenal stuff about tight end usage and making our listeners smarter about what this season is going to be like. You know, Des, we have Patrick Manley on very often during football yeah. season. You know Pat, the long snapper.
Hey, Pat.
Yeah, maybe if Pat's not around, you could fill in for him. You've done that before, right?
Let me tell you why I don't take a lot of interviews anymore. Is because I love talking football, but I had to have – so one of the things that you guys said to me on the open was – he has transitioned into a competent business person, right?
That's what Lawrence said, yes.
So I intentionally stopped talking football for a few years. You guys haven't heard me do many interviews at all over the last 3 or 4 years. It's because I wanted people to transition with me into the business world and not just only look at me as a football player. So that's been intentional. But I think – and the fact that I needed to learn a lot on this side – of the world, what I call the real world. But now that I kind of understand what I'm doing, I can do more of this now. But filling in for you guys at the last time I filled in for Pat Manley, it didn't go so well. I don't know if I want to do that again and put myself in that position.
But you know, said
to put Pat Mellon and throw the ball over the holder's head.
You said you wanted another crack at it, though. That's the thing, Dez. You said at the time you wanted another chance, but Pat got healthy and took away your second chance.
I said that out of pride. I said that because I was trying to cover my ass and act like I was confident in what I was doing.
Understand.
And right now, I don't have to do that. Hell no. I don't want to have to come back Pat Manley up in anything because the dude is too good at what he does. And somebody trying to come in and fill in for him, good luck.
Dez, this was an absolute pleasure, man. Thank you so much for doing it and saying yes. And we're going to hit you up again, okay?
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Dez.
That is Dez Clark.
That was so cool.
I love that he kind of took us for a ride and then he got there.
He came back here.
And he got there for us.
Oh, man.
Oh, I love that. That is outstanding. The great interviews don't stop there. Why? Because Brett Bielema is going to join us. He's got new paper, as Uncle Terry would say. That's next here on the...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Score.
And Brett Bielema is going to change his mind and send the offense out.
As a head coach, I'm so thankful for to be around these coaches, these players.
Here's the throw. It is a throw. It's caught by Bryant. First down. 15. 10. House call. Touchdown. Pat Bryant from Luke Altmyer on fourth down.
Brett Bielema. I'm telling you, this guy, Illinois guys, is a good program, and they're going to get better.
We have an altercation of some sort down on the field.
Brett Bielema walked across the field to take care of his injured player and taunted Shane Beamer.
This is going to be a fun season for me and my family to watch. You know, obviously my son will be a center. One of my other sons will be playing linebacker, special teams.
I mean, I saw him going out there, so I strapped on my helmet, right? I got to back up the head coach. I think a lot of our guys strapped up their helmets ready to back up our head coach.
I did stress to our guys on Sunday, you're going to get a million questions about how you beat Michigan or how you prepare for Michigan. And I told them, you know, listen, I learned this one from a very wise man, my mentor, Barry Alvarez. You learn to beat Michigan 365 days a year.
Luke Altmyer at Illinois with a win at home to snap the Michigan 6-game winning streak in this series.
He's made them a top 25 program.
Lawrence, they won 10 games this year, and 5 of them they were underdog.
They cheesed it. The Cheez-It Citrus Bowl
champions in 2024 are Illinois.
He does everything well, right? When you watch him lead the football team.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
It is our absolute pleasure to bring the head coach of the Fighting Illini on to the Score, Brett Bielema, with a contract extension that is going to keep him in Champaign for a few more years, and I think that is wonderful. I love when a plan works like this, where you bring a guy home and it's not a disaster, where he can build something. And you look at the season that Illinois had last year, 10 wins, that win in the Citrus Bowl, which was viral, the win over Michigan last season, which was demonstrative. It was great to see Brett Bielema succeed and then be rewarded for it. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Brett, thanks for joining us. Congratulations. Why did you want to continue the relationship with the University of Illinois?
Well, thanks, gentlemen. I've had a lot of great introductions in my lifetime, but that one might have been the best. I appreciate that. I'm going to have to coin that and get a copyright on it. There was a lot of good audio from the past year. But really, to be honest, you know, I'm an Illinois kid. I grew up in Illinois, played high school football in Illinois. I was an Illinois fan growing up, and kind of the powers that be didn't get me to Illinois out of the gate, but it was a job I always looked at. Honestly, when I left Wisconsin and went to Arkansas, I thought to myself, literally as I made that transition, this is a way that I could open up an opportunity if Illinois ever opened to get involved there. I just thought it was something that always called me here. And now to be going into year five where we're at, to be around the group of players, the group of coaches, administration, it's just a really fun time to have a job like this.
That's really cool to have that kind of connectivity to it, Brett, and to get to live it and now to get to extend it. You are the first head coach of the Illinois football team to go to two bowl games in his first four seasons since Lou Tepper in the early 90s. So is that an era where you're watching and thinking about Illinois, and what other eras, you know, spoke to you as an Illinois kid in terms of college football?
Well, you know, I graduated in 1988, high school, and that's when, you know, obviously I really kind of started to pay attention to college football in general as close as I did. But really growing up, you know, there was a couple runs there where good things happened. Truth be told, Matt, this is crazy. I became the head coach at the University of Wisconsin in 2006, and I interviewed Lou Tepper for the defensive coordinator job.
Wow.
At that time, he was at Indiana, University of Pennsylvania, whatever it was. You know, he's a guy that I watched as a head coach here. Chris Koch was a defensive coordinator. I knew a lot of coaches that had been here. So it's kind of just crazy how the whole world connects. But I always had seen, even when I was a head coach at Iowa as a young assistant and then Kansas State and Wisconsin, I'd always come into Illinois and recruited. And I always kind of used to say to myself, man, if Illinois ever recruited the way they can in a state, this place could be something different. I think the 4 years prior to me becoming here, there has been, I want to say it was like four or five, maybe total of six guys to sign at Illinois during that 4 year window. Since we've been here, we've signed almost 40 players. I think we're at 38 players in that same 4 year window. So I think that's been a big key too, is just keeping Illinois guys at home and doing good things with them.
Brett, you and I talked right before the season started last year, and you made the point of, hey, part of your job is to keep Illinois, with the Big Ten expanding, with college football changing, to keep Illinois ahead of the cut line. There's a lot of pressure that comes with that. How did you go about saying to the team, like, it's we want to win, but we have to understand that there's also a responsibility to continue to elevate the athletic program through what the football team is doing?
You know, a great question. You know, I think for us, you know, and I remember having that conversation, there's some big picture items that I, as a head coach, have to take on, tackle, and do. But I know if I give that to, you know, the normal college student coming into our building, I think it probably loses its focus. So we really work on, you know, very simple thing here in our building. We want to have our guys wake up every day, do the right thing. I want them to be respectful of the people around them and be the best versions of themselves every day. And if you just do those three things, like, a lot of really good things can happen. And that's what we try to do. As a byproduct, we won a few games, ended up winning 10 in the end, knocked off a really good South Carolina team that everybody thought should be in the playoffs. I thought we should be in the playoffs. But, like, it just it's one of those things we just focused on the now. Now, this year, right, there's not one tackle, turnover, or touchdown that last year carries into this year. So we got to do it all over again. Fortunately, I think we have the most returning starters of anybody in this conference. You know, it's an 18-team league now, so there's a lot of things to get excited about. Have all three of my coordinators back for 3 years or more. So a fun time for us to be here.
I flat out giggled when you said 18-team league. I mean, it is it is crazy what has happened with the conference realignments and the consolidations. It's it can't possibly feel like the same Big Ten that you and Barry Alvarez trafficked all those years.
You know, even Matt, to go full circle, you know, when I went to the league, it was really 10. You know, it was when the Big Ten made sense. There were 10, right? And now we're not quite to 20, but we've almost doubled it. I remember, and I know Matt, you grew up in the Boston area, in Jersey. I was out there with the pros, right, with the Giants and the Patriots. And you know, the part that's changed for me is after that experience in the NFL, one of the things we constantly sell to our kids: we're the only conference. You know, you can say what you want about the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12. We're the only one that you can literally say from, you know, Penn State to the four West Coast teams, we play in all four time zones. We play in all weather, all environments. And for the NFL, that's a huge deal, right? Like when you get a kid from Miami, Florida, that went to high school in Miami and went to Miami, and now you're trying to draft him for the Giants or the Patriots, and he's never experienced that cold weather, like that's a big deal. I can literally tell every kid, you come play at Illinois, you're going to be marketable to 32 NFL teams. And that's a big deal. Every kid has a dream and an aspiration of playing in that league. And that's something we use all the time here.
Man, Brett Bielema knows that I grew up in Jersey. That's fascinating. He knows stuff, Brett Bielema. And I'll tell you what, my dad texted me and said, hey, Bears took a Rutgers kid. Because my dad's a Rutgers guy. So my dad's like, oh, yeah.
Right.
And so he's been watching. He liked Kyle Manungai. Should Bears fans like Kyle Manungai?
I do. I think good player. I will tell you what, I was very impressed with the Bears. You know, I know, you know, different thoughts, different philosophies. I thought the Michigan tight end, when we played him even 2 years ago, was one of the best players in our league, and he just continued to be that way. I think he really, truly fits. I have tremendous respect what Coach did at Detroit. I have a couple, you know, the Detroit Lions every weekend trampled out, you know, 8 offensive linemen on their Sunday draft roster. 3 of those guys played for me. 2 of their starters both played for me. First-round draft picks, Kevin Zeidler and Frank Ragnow. He knows how to build a team, right? Like, that offensive line was literally one of the best in the league, and you saw the focus of what they did in the draft and what they did in the offseason. So it's really fun to watch. I grew up a little bit of a Bears fan. My heyday, the 1985 shuffle, was when I was a sophomore in high school. I had a haircut like Jim McMahon. I couldn't throw with him like him. That's why they moved me to linebacker. But I definitely was a Bears fan, and it's been fun to watch their growth.
Well, since we've got you doing some oppo, Brett, give us more on Loveland. What do you think when you saw him, and what did you see on tape that you thought made him a special player?
You know, so tight ends, you know, I've had 8 tight ends drafted, so I love that position. We have one guy drafted since I've been here, but we probably have the best tight end room coming back since I've been here, and I'm super excited. When you have perimeter matchup issues, right, when you got some guys on the outside that create, you know, coverage threats, and then you have a good running game, that creates a mismatch of tight end because safeties probably can't handle his size and linebackers can't handle his speed, right? So, like, it really creates – I learned this when I was in the NFL. You know, we were playing the Carolina Panthers. Olsen was a tight end. They had running back McCaffrey, and then they had a Cam Newton, a quarterback. When you have 3 guys on the field offensively that are tough to handle, it just creates mismatch issues, and I think that's what's begun to happen. That's what he did at Detroit, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen in Chicago.
Man, you've got all these roots and tentacles – that connect a lot of the football universe, Brett, your time in the NFL, and you got guys in the NFL. You've had 12 now drafted from Illinois, 8 of them in the top 100, which is kind of amazing to think about it. So do you stay in touch with those guys? That probably only increases your connectivity with the league and only increases, you know, your understanding of what your players now are training for in their hopeful futures.
You know, it was something I didn't intend, to be honest. I was let go at Arkansas. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And Coach Belichick reached out and gave me an opportunity. And I spent 2 years there. My first year, we won a Super Bowl. And you just learn so many things about that league I'd never known. I've been a coach you know, for 12 years and sent a lot of guys into the league. But when you got in there, now I, you know, coach involved me right away in just salary cap things, draft day, evaluations, all these little things that end up being big things. And then I would, to be honest, it's probably been the most beneficial exercise I could have to be a college coach right now. We, you know, the NFL has a 53-man roster. We have a 74-man travel roster, right? So it's a very comparable number. Now with this the way the NFL, the NCAA has worked now with, you know, revenue share or NIL, whichever direction ends up going, I have a budget that I have to stay on task. You know, I have a really good quarterback returning that Luke Altmyer is one of the best players in the country, if not in our conference for sure. And, you know, I love it, but one of the best things I did is I went out and got a quarterback from Northern Illinois that you know, beat Notre Dame on their home turf, right, and did something, and now he's our number two quarterback going to fall. So I know I have a really good starting quarterback, but that backup quarterback is a lot of value. I just got a commitment today from a backup punter, right? Everybody may laugh at that, right? But that's really fun when you got a great punter, but then he has a bad 2 weeks or gets injured. That backup punter is a big-ass deal, right? So, you know, it's kind of amazing. In the NFL, it's really kind of a shit show with some of these people hire and these guys that they have come in and you know, think they look right on paper and they just can't handle and manage everything that we have to do as head coaches. And now in college football, it's more like the NFL than ever before. And that's the part that I just thankful for every day. I can tell these guys when they come in on visits, listen, there's probably a really good chance, 32 NFL teams, I may either know the head coach or the GM on a personal level. And I think that's why our guys get drafted. I knew that Pat Bryant was going to go two rounds higher than everybody did because the Broncos had said it was going to happen. You know, I remember Kirby Joseph, you know, he came in my office. He just literally became the highest paid safety in NFL history for Detroit. He came in my office the fourth day and on the job and walked in and said, "What do you think I should play?" I said, "Who the hell are you?" And he said, "Kirby Joseph, I play wide receiver." And I said, "Well, give me a week." So we watched his practice tape. I didn't want to watch any film, game film. I wanted to watch his practice tape. And we watched and said, "Hey, I want to move you from wide receiver to free safety." You know, a year later, he was the most productive safety in college football, third-round draft pick. Should have stayed another year. He would have been a first-rounder. But he's earned it now, and it's just fun to watch these kids have that success.
You've been very gracious talking about the coaches that helped you, the coaches that helped put you on the right path. What do young coaches ask you about the job now that you're an old head with a contract extension?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. You know, last year I had 20 coaches in the building. I have 10 main coaches, and each one of them have an assistant. We went to an NFL model where there's a running back coach and then a running back assistant coach, right? There's an O-line coach, then there's an O-line assistant. Of those 20 coaches, 9 of those coaches had played for me, either at Wisconsin, Arkansas, Illinois, or in the NFL. I actually hired a couple guys that played for me at the Giants and the Patriots. So first and foremost, I hire guys that I've coached, right, because they know what I believe is the key, right? They know the keys that make things happen and the way we're wired. I do believe I really try to pour into my coaches as much as humanly possible. The coaches coach the players, right? So I got to coach the coaches on a daily basis. So we, whether it be, you know, 12 types of first down, whether it be, you know, 6 types of second down, whether it's how the importance of end of half is just as important as end of game, clock management, you know, how to use your timeouts. Like there's just a million things that everybody else goes by. We always talk about second down as the most forgotten down. Everybody talks about first down, third down. Nobody talks about second down. Well, it's the difference in winning, right? And those are the little things that I know my coaches, especially if you ask them, you know, I've been very fortunate to have so many coaches become head coaches. If there's one thing they took from their time, our time together, it's the details of winning. It's not just about plugging numbers in. You know, anybody can take a calculator and come up with the right answer, but you got to know how to beat people. You got to know how people can beat you, and that's probably the biggest difference in what we do.
If you are a listener to this station and you've heard Olin Krutz an awful lot, you can tell why Olin was comfortable sending his boys to play for Brett Bielema. You know, it's like you really can. And we were thinking last time we had Olin on, he was wearing a Miami of Ohio volleyball sweatshirt, right?
Because of his daughter. Yeah, absolutely.
And we asked him about his daughter, and he kind of threw some indirect shade at his two boys. Listen to this for a second, Brett.
What's her level of toughness and competitiveness among
Maybe
your...
Maybe the toughest kid I got. Yeah? Tougher than the two boys in Illinois. She will compete now. She competes on a volleyball court. She gets after people. There is something we expect in this house, as you guys know me by now, and we hold people to that standard.
So she's tougher than the boys. I mean, can you, what will they have to say to that, Brett?
You know, Matt, this is great. So, obviously, I came in, Josh Crutz was committed to us. He had already signed before I even became the head coach. So I reached out to him and I talked to him, but I had never met or talked to Olin, really. It was during COVID, kind of an unusual time, but got a chance to meet Olin. But then I remember calling him that first year, and Josh had got hurt during fall camp. And you know, usually when a kid has an injury that is, you know, somewhat severe, he was going to miss some time with a knee injury. And I called Olin. I said, hey, you know, Josh got rolled up today, and, you know, talked about it. And he didn't ask about the injury. He didn't ask what type of – he said, well, did he lay there and cry about it, or did he get up and walk off? And I'm just like, Jesus, right? Like, I just said to myself, what are we dealing with here, right? And it's just I would tell you, like Matt and Lawrence, like, you know, yesterday – I was able to do something, you know, to get a contract extension, but it was something that, you know, meant a lot to me and my family. I was able to, you know, call my dad and share. I remember the first time I ever called him, I got a job. I remember the first time I called him, I got a coordinator job. I remember the first day I called him when I became a head coach. And then yesterday to just give him a little bit of warning what was coming out, because I knew he'd get bombarded. And so you hear from family and friends, but the best part to my day yesterday was getting – texts and phone calls from my former players and former coaches here at Illinois. But the most rewarding were my players' parents. Mm. And honestly, the first parent that reached out to me was Olin Crutz. And for a guy that knows the bit, and you can say everybody's got opinions on Olin, right? And a very strong person in what he believes in. Like, that meant the world to me, because here's a guy that has two kids that walk in my program every day, right? And he knows what we pour into and what they've done. And those two kids have played a lot of really good football, but it's nothing compared to what they're going to do. I don't know what his daughter is going to do being in Miami, Ohio, but my guess is she's going to be really good at what she does.
100%. Brett, we are so happy for you. Congratulations on the success of Illini football. We look forward to another great season, and thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate it, Matt. You know you do some Cubs work. I'm singing the seventh inning stretch on June 17th, so I got the pipes working. This is my sixth appearance. I hope it'll make a Grammy worthy on the 17th.
Brett, you're not going to believe this, but Spiegs is going to sing the national anthem the next day.
The very next day.
Phenomenal.
Oh, we're just going to miss each other. That would have been so fun, Brett. But
that takes talent. I can carry a catch rhythm tune with an organist, but I don't think I could do the national anthem.
Well, you want to trade? I'll do the stretch. You can do the anthem.
No.
Hey,
I'll have a couple bracers before, and it'll be a good trick.
Hey, if you guys make the college football playoff, I think everyone will let you sing whatever you want.
Whatever you want. Absolutely. Thanks,
I love
Brett.
It, man. You guys appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, man. You got I.
Roll Tide? What am I supposed to say in that moment?
I will give I and I to that man.
High Tide!
High Tide works.
My goodness. That,
he's so likable, man.
Makes you want to go down there and do a show on a
one
Friday.
Of my favorite college football games.
Oh, let's go!
Well, I mean,
seriously, this show just became huge Illinois stands.
I can just tell you that I've been eyeing a couple of games with them for this upcoming season, which I think are worth us perhaps making a trip. So
let's do it. Let's do it. That sounds fun as hell. I'm sure that my wife, the Illinois alum, would love to make a weekend out of it.
October 11th and September 27th.
Show
September
trip.
27th, USC in Champaign.
Woo!
October 11th, the Ohio State down in Champaign.
We can bring Ryan Porth and let him and Ryan Day just stand right next to each other.
We can just walk around and act like we're hanging out with Ryan Day.
Oh, that's the move.
Like the mime and a mirror.
What's the
Harpo Marx thing with the two people across from each other?
The Great Diner. Is it Mary's down there in Champaign?
I don't know.
I think we just walk in with Ryan Porth in all Ohio State
100%.
Gear and see how many people bother him for an autograph.
We just walk around. Alex, you got
got to tweet a picture of Ryan Porth and Ryan Day immediately so people understand this. But yes, put him in Ohio State gear and we play a little game called Go Ahead, Prove This Isn't Ryan Day.
Mary Ann's Diner in Champaign. That's what we got to do. We got to go down there with Porth in Ohio State gear that week and see what happens.
Man.
All right, we need to take a break. Back after this on The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Let's burn it down and bear down, Chicago!
Speeds has got an announcement about the Bears' schedule.
Some people break the schedule news by boasting about it all year and then dropping it with great fanfare. I choose to break it one game at a time with scoops that happen to come to me. The Bears will be in Las Vegas in the fourth week of the season. The Bears' road game against the Raiders will be Sunday, the 28th of September, week 4 of your NFL season. We actually have a lot more info that we can piece together in advance of the NFL's full schedule release show tonight. Let's do that.
Why don't we do that in the next segment? Talk a little bit more Bears with you and how it's going to mess up your holidays next on The Score.
We're going to Las Vegas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.